Because in studio I have a mattress maker in front of me and also a beautiful lady, Josephine McCaffrey. Good afternoon to you both.
Thank you. Good afternoon, thank you.
I mean, the first thing that comes into my head, mattress makers, you're well known, Michael, and also laughter. And I imagine that's half the secret of a happy marriage is laughter in the bed.
Yes, yes. Don't be starting rumours now.
Okay. Well, give us an idea how you got together. Who wants to tell me the story of how you got together?
We both will. I'll start off initially.
Go on.
What happened was, one evening I went into town. I was sitting, I decided I'd go for a pint. And I went up to a pub called Davy Burns.
Yeah,
just
I know,
in Duke Street there, right? So I was sitting outside, it was a nice evening, and I was sitting outside having a pint, and this fella came along and said to me, would you mind holding my dog for a moment while I go in to the bathroom, okay?
Okay.
So I'm sitting outside holding this man's dog, and I'm not a great animal lover, like I like animals, but,
yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're having a pint, you don't want to be with a dog. Anyway, I'm sitting there with a lead. And I'm looking at my watch and there's no sign of your man coming out. Like 5 minutes went by, 10 minutes went by, and I couldn't do very much because I had the dog. So the next thing I see, this group of people coming up the street in funny dress. Now, maybe Josephine would like to...
Yeah. Well, we were promoting the show and we were flying the show. Which is Laughter Lines Dublin, which is every week in the Duke off Duke Street, and we were flying the show. And this particular occasion, we were all dressed up, and and I saw Mattress Mick, and I'd been a slight fan before then, and I was like, "Shall I go up and say hello to him?" And I was dressed as a potato. Time, a big potato, and he was holding his dog, and I thought, I'm gonna do it. So I ran up and I went, with this big potato suit on, and he looked at me and went, what are you? And I said, I'm a potato. And he said, well, you look nothing like, you look more like a bollocks to me than a potato. And from then on, I knew we were going to be friends. And
so you got the brunt of him being stuck with the dog, is that
yeah,
it?
Basically.
Or is there a punchline to the story about the dog?
No, well, the only thing, what happened then was, Josephine went off. I was still left holding the dog. So eventually one of the bar people came out and I said, I've been left here with one of your customers. Yeah, he's inside having a couple of pints.
Shit.
He just left me with the dog, went in, had a pint, and there I was sitting there.
And he forgot about it.
But it turned out anyway, he's quite a nice fella. I've met him since, and we always have a bit of a good laugh over this. But the meeting with Josephine was very interesting because all my marketing is funny. At least I tried to make it funny. Mm. And then I met this group of people. The whole persona appealed to me. The whole idea appealed to me. So I found out a little bit more about the Laughter Lines group. And I actually went to one of their gigs in the Duke. It's every Wednesday night. And I enjoyed it. And I saw that they were working very, very hard to try and get their name out, to try and get the brand out or the idea out. And they were up against it. Two things. Money was an issue. Publicity was an issue. And I'm quite good at generating publicity.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a chat with Josephine and I said, I would be interested in kind of maybe working with you, supporting you a little bit. And we got together and we produced a handbill, like a flyer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine who does most of my advertising work, Ger O'Connor, got the flyer together for us, and Josephine got them, and they started giving them out, and things began to happen. And it was a good experience. It's great to see the crowds getting bigger at the show as a result of the publicity, but also they're very good at what they do.
Mm.
It wasn't
okay. I'll just interrupt you there. We can just ask Josephine now to explain to me about Laughter Lines, is it an open mic type of thing, or particular group?
Laughter Lines Dublin has been running now for 6 years, and we are a group of, we're a mixed bag where there's actors, stand-up comedians, fantastic performers. These guys are so good at what they do. And we're an improv group that run every week in the Duke Wednesday, Harper's Day, upstairs. It's the best pub in town. and yeah, we just have really good fun and there's great camaraderie. And when people come to the show, they always come back. It's almost like a weekly kind of service almost for their weekly laughter fix. Yeah. And that's a really nice feeling when, because people often don't come back again and again to comedy shows, but we see that a lot at Laughter Lines because we're genuinely having a great time and we get on and we just have such a good laugh. The team is made up of Ronya Boyle, Declan McFadden, Kieran McMahon, Gary Lynch, and we have had a new recruit, Sophie Nicole and Mark Canratti and myself, and they're all fantastic performers. And what's really exciting is we're growing, and we did the Edinburgh Fringe this year.
Wow.
And we had Mick's beautiful face on all the publicity as well, and it was fantastic. We sold out every show. We were turning people away because I think people get the great vibe that we have between ourselves and people want to be part of that as well, and it's a great show. So yeah, it was fantastic to sell out Edinburgh. And Mick also supported my solo show as well, which I'll be touring next year as well, called Gagging For It.
Oh, very good. I told you there was jokes and bits.
Yeah.
And so we did that in Edinburgh, and also Gary Lynch went over, who's part of the group. He's doing his solo show, Middle Age Came Quick. So there's a huge pot of great creativity in the pool as well. So we do the weekly show, we do festivals, we're doing some filming next week.
We are, yeah.
Mick is a great actor, he's fantastic. So he's going to be part of that. So look out before Christmas on our Laughter Lines Dublin page for some comedy sketches as well.
And about the show itself, it's all impromptu, as you say.
Yeah.
And does it work out one-on, one-off, or is there groups to come together? What way does it work?
Yeah.
I suppose it runs for about an hour and a half, I imagine.
It does. It runs for about an hour and a half, and there's an interval. So what we do is we are short-form improv, so we take suggestions. It's very, very quick. It's very interactive. And it can be two of us on stage, it can be six of us on stage. So we take different suggestions from the audience, and then we make that into a funny sketch. And I've been in this show for 6 years, and every time I watch the performers, I'm still amazed at how brilliant they are. They're just so quick, so clever. The characters that they come up with, it's really, really.
As I know, I'm always amazed at myself when I mean, I've seen one or two of these impromptu shows on television. And is there anyone doing any direction at all, in any sense of the word, to an extent of, okay, there's the start, there's the middle, but do what you like in between?
We would have a structure of the games that we would play, and that's it. Everything then is completely off the cuff. It's made up. There's no rehearsals whatsoever. But now we've been working together so long, we kind of almost know instinctively how the other one is going to go. So it flows very well, and we work very well together as a team. But it's just great fun, and we really genuinely get on, and the audience can see that, and that's what we need, is a good laugh during the middle of the week. And yeah, it's great, and we're building
the shortage of comedians. We could do with some of that on TV at the moment, as a matter of fact. So that's I'd like to see some of that transferred onto the TV.
Yeah.
Are you getting a niche for this, Mick, now? Is this a change of career going to be for you?
I don't think so. No, I'm sticking where I'm going. I have my own agenda, but I really think for a group of people to be able to pick up from a word and create a scene, like the audience, a member of the audience would try a word, amazing, would say, and these people can pick it up. I think it's incredible, because comedy to me, stand-up comedy, has always been very boring. I never actually liked it.
Really?
No, I didn't. Because you'd go to these shows and you'd see one man performing the same jokes and the same kind of stuff. But when you see a mix of people, I think it's so much different and much more enjoyable, rather than just looking at one guy or one lady doing half an hour. These guys are different. And as Josephine said, when somebody throws in a word or an idea, they can pick it up like that. And you're right, it should be on television. should be a program for people in Josephine's industry to expose themselves to the public.
I suppose you recognise yourself with what they do, of course, is sell comedy. And the whole act is all about comedy. But what you do, to an extent as well, when you're in your shop or whatever it may be, I mean, you're improv as well, to an extent.
I am, yeah. I can read a customer. I can joke with a customer, and I know where the borderline, where the lines are, or where to draw the lines. One of my big things with, like, mattresses are kind of a funny subject for a lot of people, but we have great fun selling them. We enjoy selling them, and we make it an experience for the customer. Well, most times, if a lady or a man is having some difficulty in selecting mattresses, we will lie on the bed with them, we'll interact with them, and we know our stuff. Like, it's like they know their stuff, I know my stuff, and my staff know also their stuff. But we also know, and I think it's a talent, to be able to gauge a customer's reaction or what a customer's reaction is going to be. If I say a certain thing or whatever, there's borderlines, but I can read those borderlines, and I haven't made a mistake up to yet.
And are you going to be the face of Laughter Lines?
No.
He's one of the faces of Laughter Lines.
I'm in the corner of the leaflet with my hand out on my big hat. And I will support them as long as they need me. Okay. They'll probably tell me to get lost in time.
Absolutely.
And they become so big.
Never.
So are you just there as a fan and purely as support? Are you
yes.
sure there's no hidden agenda at the end of that? You might want to get in there yourself.
No, I wouldn't be that. No, I would have no interest in being part of it. But I like being on the fringes. I like being involved. I like to see it grow. I suppose the best word would be, it's not, it's an investment in time, an investment in energy to help this group get on. Mm-hmm. I have my own business. They have their business. I'm not a comedian. Although sometimes people do laugh at me.
No, but I sort of, I mean, the Irish seem to have this great innate talent for impromptu.
Yeah.
I mean, within a minute, like, they can crack a joke, they can see a funny situation, no matter what it is. And to me, that's a particularly Irish talent, that they can pick up on something like that. And that's where I think you'd be a natural at this, and I thought that's, maybe that's where it was going.
Yeah. Well, maybe if I retire, when I retire, I get a bit tired of doing what I could do, I have more time. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would consider it. But at the moment, I'm just on this particular journey with the team, and I like it. Mm. Now, there's some things planned for the future with the team that's going to help me going forward. Now, unfortunately, we're not in a position to disclose what that is.
We're not allowed.
We're not allowed. No. We're under an oath of silence, but it's going to be an amazing experience and a very interesting concept. Mm. Again, we can't say, but we'd love to. We discussed it before we came in here, but we cannot break the confidentiality of it.
But you did talk about, can you talk about maybe the possibility of the movie, or is that the secret?
The movie that we did.
No, aren't you going to do
it? We're doing a film. It's like a skit. We're doing it next Saturday. But again, it's coming out before Christmas.
Yeah.
Now, it's up to...
The way she sat back there, I think.
Yeah.
I thought she was... Mickey shouldn't be telling them that.
We can say that. We're filming at the end of the week. It's like, I'm like his PR manager. Don't say that.
Okay. What we'll do is we'll give you a call when it's done.
When it's done, okay.
It's just half the reason for
it seems
to be successful is if they kept quiet.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, it's
a surprise.
It's a surprise.
Okay.
It's a happy Christmas surprise.
It's a happy Christmas surprise on behalf of Mattress Mick and Laughter Lines Dublin. And we're really looking forward to releasing that. And there's a huge project then coming up next year, which is the one we're definitely not allowed to talk about. But it's very exciting. I know that's really annoying when you say there's something great coming up, but we can't tell you, but we can't.
Just can't.
But let's hope we're the first that you tell when you can't talk
about
it.
Absolutely, we will.
This is the first radio interview we have done together. And we thank you very, very much for the opportunity. I've been here before on a couple of occasions talking to some of your colleagues, Josephine hasn't been or hasn't done a radio interview like this before. So we'd like to thank you for that. And we certainly will, I think, keep you in the loop.
Okay.
And I think it'll be interesting.
And the weekly show that you do, I think you said that's going about 6-7 years.
It's been going for 6 years now.
Okay, obviously building up a good rapport and a good audience along the way. Faithful come every week. And
yeah, we're getting a good following online. That's growing. Our TripAdvisor reviews are very good. I think we're number 16 on the fun things to do in Dublin. So we'd like to be in the top 10 by Christmas. That's our aim. So it's every week in the Duke, and the Duke have kind of housed us really, because improv isn't easy to get people out to watch. It's people would usually more tend to go to stand up, and improv is kind of a harder sell really. So it's really now starting to kick in, obviously, with the help of Mattress Mick, and the Duke have been brilliant to us, because a lot of pubs would have said, you know, it's been a bit quiet at the beginning, but they really kind of gave us that space to kind of work together and work on our act and to build and to do that. So Kieran Gilligan, who runs the Duke, has been really supportive of us and letting us have that space and letting us have that home every week to develop our craft. So, and a lot of people don't do that in this day and age. If you're not making money, out type of thing. You know?
Have you got any plans to bring it on the road, maybe? I think it could be quite successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're looking at doing next year is bringing Laughter Lines. We're doing a small tour. We're hoping to go back to Edinburgh again. And we're looking at doing Gary Lynch's show, Middle Age Came Quick, because he's a stand-up comedian, and my own solo show, Gagging For It, as well. So we're going to put that out as well next year. So there's a lot coming up. We're going to be busy bunnies, and we're hoping to take it to London. And I've got a bee in my bonnet about going to Chicago. I've had that for the last few years because that's kind of the home of improv. So I've got notions.
Okay. The main thing, as I said, about the travel, I imagine it would travel very, very well. And what about doing maybe even different nights in different places, even expanding it out a little bit more? I think you're selling yourself short here, just one night a week. I think you could do
it is,
well.
And it's one of those things where everybody, a lot of them are jobbing actors as well, and they have other commitments. So we do try and manage our time as best we can. But once a week is a great platform to go off and do other things. But we will, we're looking at going around some theatres next year as well and doing that and bringing the solo shows and the improv shows around the country.
But
as
Edinburgh
well.
Is a big thing. So what's the process in getting involved in Edinburgh? Is that a...
It's a tough one and an expensive one, but a really worthwhile one. Edinburgh is like, for me, it's like a performance heaven. There's so much going on.
How do you get into it? Is it like, do you have to audition for it? I don't know how it works.
You put in an application. So everybody put an application for the show, and they'd put a number of venues down that they want, and then you get allocated a venue. So everyone's kind of crossing their fingers that they can get into a good venue that's kind of central, and then it's really up to you to do that work, to get your promotion sorted out, to do the flyering. Everybody's flyering like crazy in Edinburgh, so it's a tough gig. But we I loved Edinburgh. People walking around stressed, and I was just like a kid in a sweetie shop. Yeah. There's so much going on, and there's so great energy of performances going on. And and I think it's nice when you go as a group because you have that camaraderie and you have that support as well. If you're going as a solo show, I can imagine that's a tough one. Okay. But it very much is just applications. You're paying for the venue and for the administration fee and then your accommodation and all of that stuff. So it is very expensive and a lot of hard work.
That's a good way to get yourself known.
It's great branding.
That's a great word to use, actually, because that's what you're great at doing, actually, Mick, is branding.
That's right,
You reinvented yourself to an extent. You made a huge success of it.
Yeah, when Mattress Mick was created, I was in a bit of difficulty financially. It's well known, and I'm not ashamed of it. I had a store up in the Northside Shopping Centre there for 26 years, but things went wrong. And being the type of person I am, I can't sit down. So the idea was to get back out there. And with little, very little funding behind me, I just went on this guerrilla marketing tactic, as I call it. I just put signs everywhere. I spoke to everybody. I did anything I had to do to get people to the shop. And it worked. And it's working. But it's a constant exercise in keeping yourself out there.
Mm.
But the benefits, the goodwill from people is tremendous. Like, if I go into town now, people say, oh, you're who you are, and yes, have a photograph, a selfie. Now, that's fantastic, and I love it, and I love the goodwill. But I also I'm seeing a great success in my business. And that's the whole idea was to sell mattresses.
Well, that's the point I'm going to make about it, and I'm going to apply it to both of you to an extent. I'll apply it to yourself and to Josephine as well, is because you can do all the marketing you can like. You can tell all the sorts of stories you can like. You can be the greatest showman and the greatest seller of things in the world. But if the product is not good enough, it's all going to fall on you. I mean, with Josephine, 6 years, the show has to be good because it's still going. Your business is booming. So basically, the product itself has to be good.
Well, one thing on the product, I try to support the Irish manufacturing, the Irish bedding industry. Most of the products I would have on the floor are Irish made. Obviously, some of them are imported because they're not available in Ireland. And I think it has paid off. Like, I'm working very closely with my suppliers. Sleep, people have become very conscious of how important sleep is and how important a mattress is to a good night's sleep. And we are all the time learning. The technology is changing. It's evolving into like a fashion business. And I'm constantly monitoring this and informing my staff and training my staff to have this knowledge. This is why I think we are a dedicated bed store. We don't sell anything else except beds or bedroom furniture. So our staff are concentrating on that, where some stores sell suites of furniture, coffee tables. We don't. And I think the service is also very important, like giving good service to your customers. Now, we all make a few mistakes. There's always some blips. But overall, our service, I think, is excellent.
Okay.
And it works. You get repeat business, you get referrals, you get whatever.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth, It's worth so much. And like the free marketing, or sorry, the guerrilla marketing that I do, I really enjoy it.
Okay.
You know.
And of course, you're up here, still up here in Northside. And where else are you as well?
No, I'm in Coolock, the industrial estate in Coolock behind Woody's. The original shop was in Pier Street, where my grandfather opened a shop in 1922, and the same building is still there. Now, it wasn't a furniture shop, it was a drapery store. And we actually...
It was, I mean, it was as big as you could get at the time, I remember.
Yeah,
Pier Street, yeah. Very well known.
It is, yeah. Mickey Flynn's.
Yeah.
It was a drapery store. And then we have a couple of shops, which are franchises, one on the Nace Road and one in Drogheda.
Okay. And of course, now yourself, Josephine, every Wednesday in the...
every Wednesday, Hopper State in the Duke on Duke Street upstairs. It's a lovely pub. It's lovely to go. They do the best ale in town, a lovely warm fire, comedy upstairs of a Wednesday, Hopper State, a good laugh. Come in. And it's free in. There's no cost to come in and have a giggle of a Wednesday. And we often have a few beverages with the audience afterwards. We like to chat to everyone. And so it becomes like a kind of a community event as well. So that's a nice
angle. You pop in yourself some night, will you?
I probably will, because I like a good to have a good laugh. And I have to be honest with you, I love the impromptu, the whole thing of impromptu. I really love it.
It's a great skill.
Anything else coming if you want to get out there before I let you go?
Look out for our sketches before Christmas.
Yeah.
We have a big project coming up next year, The Secret Woman Not Allowed to Talk About. we'll be touring around the country, Laughter Lines, next year. So there's lots coming up. And to keep posted, go on our Facebook page, which is Laughter Lines Dublin. And you can follow us on Instagram again, Laughter Lines Dublin. Keep following us, and we'll let you know what we're up to. We're up to lots of different things, and it's very exciting.
Keep us informed here, as I say, all the time, especially on the big ones.